Well, happy Mama Day. So excited for all you moms. It's a hard job being a mom, isn't it? I mean, I don't know, but it looks hard. I've always said, I tell you what, you stay home and watch the kids and I go to work and I'm getting the easy way out. That's a fact. So, what we're going to talk about today, Steve's been doing this series called The Heart of Gold, and we're going to continue building on that. And my title is Building to Last. You know, gold lasts, right? And I got a gold ring that I put on my finger like 21, 22 years ago, and it still weighs the same amount, even though it's been friction and stuff. And gold just has a lot of really cool qualities. And one of those is how enduring it is. And without really ever doing anything, it always has a little bit of a shine to it. I mean, gold's just special among all metals. So what we're going to talk about today is how our works can be special among all the different works that we could do, how they can be like gold. So I'm going to read the text, expound on the passage, share some stories, and then it's my intent to influence you to be more active in the kingdom of God and to do it the right way. So you with me? All right, let's have some fun. So our text is 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15. Begins like this: by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one must be careful how he builds, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, his workmanship will be evident because the day will bring it into light. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire will prove the quality of each man's work. If what he built survives, he'll receive a reward. If it's burned up, he'll suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as if through the flames. So today we're going to talk about how to build things to last. And in fact, what we do in this life is going to outlast everything we see on the planet. It was interesting that the person who shared on the offertory, it leads right into the message. What a coincidence. So it gets funnier the more you think about it. So when Paul talks about building on this foundation of Jesus as an expert builder, it makes us think about natural buildings. And as we do that, we'll learn so much about how to build spiritually. We've been working in the house right next door for some time. It's taken longer than expected, cost more than expected. Isn't that funny how buildings work like that? But we're preparing to do a Celebrate Recovery ministry in this building and really help a lot of people in our town to be able to break through some old thinking and behaving patterns and see them won over to Jesus and have a new life. So I've made a lot of trips to Menards, and I've discovered that a 2x4 stud, 8 foot long, is now $9.25. I remember doing a job just maybe 7, 8, 9 years ago at Home Depot. It was under a buck. It was 99 cents. Now it's $9.25. Builders are trying to figure out how to make materials go further. I heard about this one guy who cut a stud in half just by looking at it. He saw it with his own eyes. I'm not even done. So as a church, we've served doing construction projects in other countries. Recently, we were invited to work on one in Egypt, a construction project in Egypt, but it turns out it was a pyramid scheme. So truthfully, though, I worked on the senior high in Faribault about 25 years ago when all the additions were put on. And I was a block tender at the time, you know, a carry-around block all day long and lift them up on the scaffold for the people who are laying the block, keep mortar on their boards and things like that. And I would wake up and my fingers would just be creaky. I mean, it's just like, it was the most brutal work. I had to quit because I just wasn't strong enough to do the work. I gave a 2-week notice. All right, so since comedy's not my thing, let's pray. For those of you that are still, it's T-O-O-W-E-A-K. All right, so thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for humor or the lack thereof. God, thank you so much for the people who are here that are that have come to honor your word and to see their lives grow in you. God, thank you for the moms and all the tremendous effort that they've given to us over the years. And we want to honor you, and I pray that the word would go deep into our spirits and that it would land with effect in Jesus' name. All right, so we're just going to go a couple of verses at a time and kind of expound on it. So back again to 10, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. Someone else is building on it, but each one must be careful how he builds. No one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is our very real foundation. And this is probably a routine thing to hear, but I hope to color it a little better for you today. What Paul is saying is that from the very opening page of Genesis, we see in John 1 that as God said, let there be light, Jesus was the words that made that light. When God said, let grass and things appear, Jesus was the word that made that appear. Jesus was present with the Father, and the Holy Spirit was hovering over the earth. He was present with them in creation. So he is there from the very beginning. And you can see Jesus so many times through the scriptures. Scholars would argue about the number, but there's 200 to 400 prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled. You could find 200 to 400 scriptures, and they would say that this person's going to do something, and you look at Jesus' life, and he actually did it. So also in the Old Testament, you would see all these things that we would call a type of Christ, either an object or a person who points to what Jesus is going to do. You have the stick that Moses threw in the water that made the bitter water sweet, like the cross of Jesus makes our bitter lives holy. You have the ark where only people who are in the ark would be saved. Only those found in Christ will be saved. I mean, that's just to name a couple. We could spend a lot of weeks going on and on about all the different things that point to Jesus. I mean, there is, let me see. I have my place. You know, there's Adam, Job, Noah, Melchizedek, Joshua, Isaac, Gideon, Joseph, David, Jonah, the 12 sons of Jacob becoming the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus had the 12 disciples that became apostles and turned the world upside down. There are so many pictures of Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. The last thing is he says, I'm coming back soon. And it's Jesus throughout the whole thing. He is the foundation we're standing on. If you're ever confused about what our faith is about from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation, it's about Jesus. So be consumed with the person of Jesus and what he did and what he taught, and you won't miss anything. And then when you look in the Old Testament, look for pictures of Jesus. It'll be a delight to you to find him in the most interesting places. So let's look at how we might build. Verse 12, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, his workmanship will be evident because the day will bring it to light. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire will prove the quality of each man's work. Jesus is going to test us. So I've been a plumbing contractor for going on, I don't know, like 16 years or so. And I did some simple math, and it occurred to me that over that time, I've probably had a little over 2,000 inspections where a local inspector would come to the job site and look at the work that our company did. Now, they are what you would call what the code book calls the administrative authority. And what that means is if it's not spelled out exactly in the code book, they have the right to interpret and tell you what you have to or don't have to do. Now, we can feel how we want to feel about that in the moment, but that's the reality. They've been given that authority. Their very word becomes law, and you could appeal, but it probably isn't going to go real well. You're better off trying to kind of schmooze the inspector. You know, if he likes motorcycling, start talking about motorcycling. That's the better route that I found rather than to try to argue a point. You could win, but it's not real likely. But there's a testing that happens with that work. One time we built a building in Haiti, and there's all these steel trusses. They're about this tall, and 25 feet long or so. And we made a jig in the ground and laid these trusses, and we made like a roof style truss out of flat bar trusses, and we reinforced them. And the Haitian job boss didn't speak any English, and I didn't speak any Haitian Creole. And so we had to work through signs and like drawing pictures in the ground. We didn't have good interpreters most of the time. And we were able to communicate that we need to figure out if they're going to be strong enough. So the test that we decided is that we'd pick up this truss now, which was almost as wide as this building, not quite, maybe two-thirds the building. But it was pretty wide and really heavy, maybe 600-800 pounds of truss. And we figured out we would lift it by manpower and then put wood underneath it and pick it up so that the peak is 10 feet high. And we would drop it. And so we did. So we picked it up and we dropped it, hit the ground, and fell down. And I look at him, and the only English he said all week, he says, "It's good." So it passed the Haitian stress test. And the good news is the way we're going to be tested is written out in Scripture. Again and again, Jesus says exactly how we will be tested. And he tells us how our work can last and how it will get burned up in the fire. It's an open book test. And it's interesting that Jesus said in John 12, 47 and 48, he said, "I didn't come to judge the world, I came to save the world." But and then he goes on to say, "There is a judge for you. If you don't want to have any relationship with me, there is a judge for you. The very words that I spoke that are recorded for all time will stand and judge you on that day." Isn't that an interesting thought? That Jesus himself isn't going to judge us guilty for not engaging with him, but the words that he spoke will somehow be alive in heaven and will judge us. So since there is this interesting way that his words will judge us, please go to the Word of God for yourself and learn what he has to say, because you will be judged by those words. I'm pleading with you, know his words. Right, verse 14 says, "If what he has built survives, he'll receive reward. If it's burned up, he'll suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as if through the flames." Our work will bring reward or loss. So what this is saying is our lives need to be built on the foundation of Jesus scripturally, biblically, and we need to be standing on that. We've received his blood for cleansing of sin, and we walk with him. That's really important. There's a scripture that says, "He who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved," but it's better said to be like, "He who calls in the name of a ship and gets on that ship and goes where the captain wants to go will get to where they're supposed to go." That's kind of what that picture is. You get in his boat and you go where he's going. You don't say, "Oh, Jesus, help me," but then you stay in your own boat doing everything you want and say, "Well, I call in the name of the Lord." That's not what it means. So he's given us so much opportunity to choose what we want to choose. And then there's people that never got on the boat, and it's really sad, but they're going to experience hell forever. They're going to experience darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth and alone, and they're going to see the glory of heaven, but they don't get to remain there. And it's going to be really bad if you don't choose to build your life on the foundation of what Jesus did. So again, I plead with you, be wise now while you still have time. So, then there's the two groups of people. One was they were on the foundation, they've been cleansed by the blood, they lived for Jesus, but they didn't build well. And what they built got burned up. And we'll get into what that means. It's a bad, better, best situation. It's bad to bust up in hell. It's better to arrive in heaven, and even though all your works are burned up, but it's best to get rewarded when you get there. Because in somehow that reward is going to last all eternity. And if Jesus didn't want us to go after it, he wouldn't talk about it so frequently like he does. But the scriptures are filled with Jesus talking about reward as if dangling a carrot in front of us, knowing he needs to motivate us. So let's examine what the scriptures and how they are laid out in different considerations. The things that we build need consideration. So I want to look at four things. Here's four examples. This is the Aon Center. It is it's in Chicago. It's the fourth biggest building there, built in 73. And it's known for its beautiful exterior clad of Carrara marble, 43,000 slabs on that building. No skyscraper had ever been built with Carrara marble before, and there was a good reason that they didn't know at that time. Turns out it doesn't hold up very well to the weather, doesn't adhere very well in the vertical, and there's other problems. After a year, it started to crack. And one time, a 350-pound slate fell off and smashed through the nearby Prudential Center. They had to go strap every piece of marble with metal strapping to prevent it from falling off. And just within 19 years, they took every piece of marble off of that building and replaced it with granite to the tune of $80 million. It's kind of important, the material you use. And also, we learned that Carrara marble is very valuable material, but it shouldn't be taken for granted. It's fun to listen to the groans and the laughs, like, oh. So our building materials really matter a lot. They really matter. And so what are our building materials? They're our thoughts. What in your life was not conceived in a thought? Everything you do, everything you say, the way you treat people, everywhere you go begins with a thought. And you work down the pathway of that thought, right? Everything starts with our thinking. Well, that's good and bad news. It's hard to change your thoughts. It's hard work. But God's given us the freedom to choose our thoughts. And where you go in the future is largely determined by what happens in that 4.5 inches of real estate between your ears. It's mostly determined there. In fact, I remember hearing a story years ago of this blind woman. She is blind from birth, and they were bringing her into an apartment in her 80s. And her guides said, well, I'm going to go in and show you the apartment. She said, I love it. She said, well, you don't understand. We haven't even been in the door yet. And she said, oh, honey, you don't understand. Me liking the apartment has nothing to do with the way the furniture is arranged. It has to do with how my mind is arranged, and I love it. We can determine how we look at things before we walk into them, and it's important that we do that. We're not just a victim where our thoughts get moved by circumstances. We're pioneers. God's given us control of that brain power. I'll share a couple of personal examples because I don't want you to think that I got all this figured out. But I had an experience about 27 years ago that had caused a considerable amount of difficulty. And I couldn't seem to forgive. I couldn't get over the issue. And I could tell that it was affecting things. And I knew that for a long time. No matter how I tried, it wasn't going anywhere. So I enlisted the help of a Christian counselor. And she helped me to reframe that event. And in the process, I discovered there was a lie at the root of that event that I believed. When you believe a lie, it has just as much power as believing a truth. And when I realized that, and I rejected that lie, and I spoke the truth of that thing over that time, I'm telling you, my thinking and my behavior and my relationships have changed just in the past months. There's so much power in what we believe. So I wonder what things are in your history that you might need to reframe, that you've called them this, but really they need to be called something different, and what lies you've believed that have caused negative outcomes in your life. Because it's just common. We all deal with it, right? So I just want to challenge you to walk away maybe considering that a little bit. The thoughts we're thinking are similar to like building materials in a house. You put this house together the way you want, and it looks the way you want, but you could have rearranged those same materials to look totally different. And you have that kind of power in your thinking. God said, as a man thinketh, so is he. He really meant it. It's not a carnal thing. Our minds are not carnal unless we go down carnal avenues. Our minds are spiritual because we have the mind of Christ, and we can do with it what he says we can do. Next slide. In 1999, NASA and Lockheed Martin both based in the U.S. They worked together to build the Mars Research Orbiter. This is going to teach us to focus on the right measurements. Lockheed Martin used the English system of measurement on a project with NASA, while NASA used the metric system. Everybody say, uh-oh. The Mars Orbiter was then unable to transfer its coordinates to the lab in California, and over the course of the journey, the miscalculations were enough to throw the spacecraft so far off track that it flew into the Martian orbit direct instead of circling and was destroyed, about a $375 million loss. In a sense, the spacecraft was lost in translation. I'll quit. I'm sorry. Thank you, Nephew Aiden. Your graduation's coming up. I was going to get you something really cool. So, live life knowing you're going to be measured. Well, how? In a way, Matthew 7:1-2 says, do not judge or you'll be judged. In the same way you judge others, you'll be judged, and the measure you use will be measured back to you. The very way we deal with other people is the measuring that we should be really careful of. How sharp and critical are you when you look at other people, of their behaviors and thoughts and actions? Or how merciful and enduring are you of other people's opinions? I think we're either going to be moving towards a critical mind and mouth, or we're going to be moving toward a very Christ-like, gentle mind and mouth. Jesus was only rough on the religious people who claimed they had it all together. And he had to ring that bell pretty hard. But with others, he showed truth, but it was always grace and truth. Grace was always first. He loved people where they were at, and then he didn't leave them in their lies. He brought truth. I used to be a really judgmental person, and those of you who are in youth ministry can probably easily see a difference in the way I operate now or the way I did then. It was like, God loves you, and I got a good plan for your life. Shut up. Let me tell you what it is. And that's, am I right, Colin? That's the way I operated back then. But one day, about 7 years ago, God woke me up in the middle of the night, and I clearly knew I was supposed to go grab my Bible and go in a different room, and I did. And I opened the Bible, and it was a story of somebody who was really cruel, and I said, you think I'm cruel? Well, I had been going through a difficult time, and I couldn't figure out why I didn't have any handle on my anger. And he showed me over the period of a few hours while I laid in the fetal position on the floor and wept how judgmental and hurtful I had been by calling people's behavior and motives what I thought they were. And I tell you, that put the fear of the Lord into me. I don't ever want to go back there again. It's not our place to judge people's motives. That's for God. It's not our place to judge whether a person holistically is innocent or guilty. That's for God. It's better to ask questions to find out where people are at and give them opportunity to discover their next place where they want to go. That was a painful lesson to learn, but the best one. Isn't life like that? You could all talk about the best lesson you learn in life, and I bet you there's a lot of pain right in front of it. All right. So I think we just want to leave room like the Jewish proverb says, who knows, maybe God. Now, we are called to judge. It says, in the Bible, it says, you'll judge a tree by its fruit. But don't judge that tree bad and cut it down in your mind and cast it off as worthless. If you're going to judge, it says, go gently with your brother. Help them understand. Or you can stand in a pious judgment stance, like I'm better than they are. Or you can get low and help them. So it's the judgment is all in that realm of how are you going to operate when you're tempted to judge. Because sometimes God might bring that desire for you to look at somebody's behavior and say something. And he wants you to have the courage to do it. And he wants you to love them well enough to do it with excellence. Amen? All right, so next, you want to be very careful of the kind of foundation you build on. I'm not going to make a joke. The most famous of all foundation failures has to be this tower at Pisa. It was built in 1100 AD, and the construction took 344 years. They had just done a few levels, and a big city-state war broke out, and it sat dormant for a long time. And fortunately, it was built on only 9 feet of shale limestone on clay, so it was doomed from the beginning. It was a bad foundation for this kind of structure. And letting it sit for a bunch of years let it settle to where when they continued to build on it, it actually stood. It took about 10 years after its construction where it started to lean and left that now famous lean. It was, as I was looking at it, in 1990, using some X-ray technology, they learned that if they didn't do something, it would collapse and crumble. They had to add 600 ton of counterweight into the foundation to keep it balanced. So we got to be really careful what kind of foundation we build on. Listen, if you want to have an awesome, blessed life, rewarded for eternity, there's only one option. And it's a series of actions, but there's one option. And that is, learn about Jesus as your foundation. Put into practice what you did. Consider how you could have done that better. Let it impact other people and repeat. Thank you. One person liked that. Let me say it again. Learn about Jesus intently. Put it into practice. Tell the world. Repeat. Because if that's our life, we're building on a good foundation and we're built something that's going to last, even if it's a little bent. So, there's a story in Matthew 7 that tells about two different builders. And the first builder built a house. It looked good. He was loving life. A storm came and destroyed that house. The second builder built a similar looking house. And a storm came and it stood. The difference was the first one was built on sand and the second one was built on a foundational rock. And then it goes on to say the person who built the sand was like the person who sat in a chair at church and listened to the word of God but never put it into practice. That dude's house came crashing. But the guy whose house was built on the rock was like somebody who comes and sits in a chair at church and they look for ways to obey God and they actually do it. And they build something that can last when the storms come. And the biggest storm is when you see the blazing eyes of Jesus in heaven. That's when you're really going to want your house to stand. But we can build our house to stand. We've had some challenges in our life, Dawn, right, over the years. And we haven't always responded well, and it's been hard at different times. But our foundation's on the rock, so we're still standing. We're still here. And many of you have, I know many of you personally have went through really difficult things, really painful things in your families, but your life is built on the rock of Jesus, so you're still standing. And I love that about our family here. That's so rich. But you only get to build on the rock by doing what he says. There's a scripture in James 22. He's like, James got less than 22. 5. Thanks, Rob. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Who here wants to be deceived? Nobody likes being lied to in this room. Don't just listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. So, finally, you want to consider what and how you build has consequences. So this is an interesting building. It's been dubbed the walkie-talkie building. It's at 20 Fenchurch Street in London. It was just completed in 2014. It's a pretty new building. And there's a couple of things they didn't consider. Because the floors get bigger as it goes up, when the sun hits it, it shoots it down like the magnifying glass. So it's destroyed cars. It's caused tiles to pop off adjacent buildings. And people like to do this as a game. They'll go and put a pan on the sidewalk and fry an egg. The sidewalk's 200 degrees. Now, it only happens 2 weeks out of the year for a few hours at a time. But a bit of an oversight nonetheless. So they did a bunch of shade screening. They fixed the problem so you can't do it anymore. But if you YouTube it, you'll watch people. And there was this office game that coworkers would come out to see how long they could stand in the heat. So our youth ministry would be out there doing that, I promise you. Ah, burning out life!
I won.
So, but what you build and the way you build it really matters a lot. Matthew 6 says, it's a whole chapter of this material, so I'm not going to go into the details. But Matthew 6 says, be very careful the way that you build your righteous life. When you pray, don't do it out loud in front of everyone to hear. Go in your private room and do it in secret, and God will reward you. Every one of these is attached to a reward, by the way. He says, when you give, don't do it like the Pharisees do. They make a show of their giving. Give humbly and quietly, and God will reward that. He says, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will pay him back. And when you fast, don't look all tired and hungry. Don't walk around like, oh. You know, wash your face, have a good attitude, and God, who sees your hunger pains in private, will reward you publicly. Again and again, he says, don't store up your treasure of being affirmed here on earth. You want to be affirmed in front of Jesus on Judgment Day. That's when you really want your accolades. So let's look at a contrast by building with wood, hay, straw, gold, silver, and precious stones. Wood, hay, and straw are works that are done to be seen by others. It's a temporary reward. Many times Jesus said, if you do this in front of other people to be seen, you got your reward right then and there, and that's all you will ever get. But we want that. That's the problem. It feels good to have people like us and affirm us in what we do. But if you want it, you can have it, but you only get it for a little bit, and then it's gone forever. So it can be done for my pleasure, my fame, my comfort, and my appearance here on earth. It's done for my glory and my benefit. That's the kind of stuff that's going to burn up at the works judgment. Might all been great stuff to do. Wrong motive, whoosh. So what's the right motive? These are all focused on self, but when we build with gold, silver, and precious stones, the mindset is totally different. Catch that. All you got to do is change your mindset. You want to please God alone. Determine that you're going to play to an audience of one when you're doing the things that he's called you to do. And then that reward will last eternally. And there are things that are done for pleasure, fame, riches, and acknowledgement in heaven. God says you'll be given pleasures evermore. You'll be welcomed into other people's dwellings if you do these things right. You'll be given a crown on your head and given names, and you'll be acknowledged before Jesus. My friend Gary Gilbertson says, man, I want to be rich and famous. It's a fact. But I want it there, not here. And we can have a false humility mindset saying, I don't want to be rich and famous. I don't want to be acknowledged. He wants us to do those things. Again and again in his word, he says, go after these things. This is what I have for you. This is what it'll be like, and this is how I want it. Now, if that's the only reason we're doing it, then we're going to get the shallow end we deserve. We want to honor Jesus for his sacrifice, but when he lays something out as good, let's call it good. So inside that list, we also see that when we serve the Lord, we're benefiting other people. When we build like this, we're not just building ourselves on the foundation, but we're bringing other stones alongside of us and building. And we're actually participating. Jesus said, I will build my church, but he's the head, and we're all the body parts doing work. And he wants us to gather people, disciple people, baptize people. So I know we're all busy. And some of us are busy building with temporary materials. Some of us are building with permanent materials. We're all busy. Just determine to use some of your busyness to make an eternal impact. We all got to do all the stuff, right? You got to mow the lawn. You got to go to the store and go to the store again. You're doing the dishes. You're vacuuming the floor. You're cleaning the car. You're changing the oil. We all got all these natural things that we're going to do again and again. And that's okay. Even in the midst of some of those things, you'll find some spiritual work to do. You know, we had a problem at work this week where a vehicle lost a tranny. And one of our core values is we do what we say we're going to do, even when it costs us.
And so as a company, we lost our tranny, and now we don't have a way to get to this job. And within the team, it was decided, well, we're going to get a tow truck, and we're going to tow that truck to the job, do that job, and then get a tow truck to tow it to a garage. It was really expensive. It's a big truck. It was like a semi that brought this thing to their house. Their call's like, somebody's going to show up with a semi and leave our piece of junk truck in front of your house. And we'll come back and pick it up, though. Don't worry. But I felt like we glorified God in that because we did what we said we were going to do. We honored him. And when I don't do what I say I'm going to do, I feel like I dishonor God, and it just hurts my heart. You know, I was having a different problem with somebody this week, and my wife said, you can't stay angry. And I was like, but I'm angry, and I got a right to be angry. And after that conversation, I felt the word of God saying, don't let the sun go down while you're angry. And if you're angry at your brother, leave your offering at the altar. Go deal with it. If you're angry with your brother, you can't claim to be in the love of God. I know these verses, and it's like, all right. So I needed to humble myself and apologize for the way I was acting. And God gave me a whole new attitude choice, and I took the choice. And there was peace almost immediately. You know, none of us have all this stuff figured out. We're all practicing. We're like doctors. We're just practicing our faith. It's hard, though. It's hard work practicing your faith for real. You got to do the things you don't want to do. I want to just stay mad. I don't know how long, but I felt just fine being mad. But I felt much better. I felt holy when I obeyed God. And it just felt right. And I had the peace of God. I had the joy of the Lord. And the rest of the night was awesome. Choices, choices, choices. Every day you got choices. Every day, all day long. How are you going to act? What are you going to say? How are you going to be? How are you going to build? Who are you going to care about? Are you going to run after yourself and the things that you want? Or are you going to honor God by the things that he wants in your life that he's already spoke to you? Whose voice are you going to listen to? An old voice that doesn't serve you well, or God's voice, which will always move you in the right direction? That's why Paul said, take every thought captive. Sometimes you need to take a thought captive like a teenager and just whip them. All right, that was my last one. Because he said earlier I whipped people. I'm not saying you should whip your teenagers. But sometimes you got to grab your thoughts and just beat them into submission. Sometimes you need to execute them out of your life altogether and take on a new thought. Sometimes you have to replace it with the truth of God's word. That's always a good idea. If you have a thought and it's a regular thought that comes to your mind consistently and it leads you down bad thinking patterns, then find something in God's word, for crying out loud already, to replace that thought with and meditate on his word. It'll transform your life in no time. So how can I build with gold, silver, and costly stones? It's simple. You get your building materials, your thoughts, and your quiet time. Excuse me, sorry. So I would suggest to you, if you want to be a builder and you want to build something that lasts, then have a premeditated reading plan. Predetermined reading plan. Have a place and a time where you go and read the word and pray and be quiet and listen to what he has to say. If you don't know how to do it, you could talk to Paul, Karen, Steve, Joan, Tony, Crombie, myself. Raise your hand here if you feel like you've had some success in a regular routine morning time. I'm serious. There's a whole lot of people in this room that are doing it, and those people are lives who are built on the rock. And I want to encourage you to be like that. Have your time in the morning. Because when God speaks to you through his word and you share with him your concerns about the day, it's just the right thing to do. The Israelites, when they were in the desert, they had to go get their manna early in the morning. And if they didn't get it by like 9 a.m., it would just melt away. And they couldn't save it up for the next day. And Jesus says, I'm the word of God. And he said, I'm the manna that came from heaven. So, in so facto, get at it in the morning. It's a good thing to do. Start your day. He wants the first of our money. He wants the first of our time. He wants the first of what we value. He wants the first of everything in your life. And he deserves it for what he did. So give him your first and stop being lazy and get up in the morning and read the word and pray and honor him with the honor he deserves. And you will benefit every day all your life. It's only for your good. And he will really enjoy that intimate time with you in the morning. He wants it. God wants you. He'll set a world of concerns aside, and he'll hone in on you and show you special things from heaven that are just for you if you'll honor him with that first. And have a pen and paper next to you with your quiet time, because if God speaks to you, it's worth writing it down. And if he sees that you're attentive and writing what he's giving you, then I think he gives more and more. So what do you write down? When I'm reading the word, I write down things that are interesting to me about the word, or things that I don't understand, or things that are confusing. Or something maybe that I feel like I should do, or something that I want to understand more about. And then when I pray, I try to keep the prayer focused on honoring him and thanking him. I don't just say, all right, well, I need this for my wife. I need this for my job. It's like, that's a part of it. But honor him. When you talk to him, just glory in God and tell him how awesome he is and how magnificent he is and what he's done in your life. Repeat to him the works he's done for you. Is there anything more endearing than somebody you love telling you how what you did impacted them in a positive way? Well, we're made in his image. There's a reason we like that, because he likes that. All right, well, let's stand. And if something I had to say this morning touches your heart and you want to press into the things of God, or if you're just so in love with God you want to, let's just give him our hands as an act of surrender to say, God, I love you so much and I want to press forward further in your kingdom. So in that spirit, God, we are so grateful that you gave us a mind to think. You gave us free will to choose if we want to build our life on you or not. But you did not give us freedom from the consequences of those choices. But God, we are so grateful for our lives. We're grateful for you, for what you did on the cross. We're grateful for your word that can coach us through all of life's difficulties. And God, I just want to pray for all those here that maybe aren't, they don't know if they're on your foundation yet or not. Maybe they would say, I don't really know if I stand on what Jesus has done. And if you're unsure about your salvation, you can get sure. Just talk to somebody here that really loves Jesus and have a conversation about it. It's not necessarily about only putting your hand up in the middle of a service, but get real and get on that foundation for real day after day. This is the time God's given you an opportunity. If he's probed your heart this morning, this is the time that he's calling you. So listen to his call. And God, for those of us that are on your foundation, I pray that you teach us to build well. We want to honor you and glorify you. We want heaven to be more glorious when we get there. If it were possible, that it would be more glorious because we humbly served you exactly the way you told us to. And God, I just pray for your blessing on us as we go. Pray for your blessing on all the moms, that today would be a rich day where they could look back at the fruits of their labor and know that they pleased you in operating the way that you made them. So God, we're just so grateful for all you've done in our lives and pray you would just help us to have a great day and honor our moms to the best of our abilities in you, in Jesus' name, amen. So you can, if anybody wants prayer, you want to process through some things, there's some people up front. Have a blessed day.